Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. I've been looking forward to today's show for a while. It's an important day in Drive Time Sports history. We've been on the air exactly 10 years today. It was 10 years ago here on KOAL that we started Drive Time Sports. It's been a fast 10 years. It's definitely a fun accomplishment to be on the air this long. And of course, it's been a pleasure to be with you every step of the way. We have a lot to get to on the show. First things first, we have a great guest lined up next segment. We're going to be joined over the phone by one of the greatest college football players in the 1982 Heisman Trophy winner, Herschel Walker. Yeah, he's going to join us over the phone here on Drive Time Sports. We'll talk about his illustrious career, and we'll also step out of the norm a little bit here on Drive Time Sports. Herschel Walker has been making the rounds as far as nationally syndicated shows and the national media outlets talking about tomorrow's election. It's a big day. In fact, it's one of the biggest elections in our country's history. And I really don't care what side of the fence you're on. I've always tried to stray away from politics here on Drive Time Sports. But Herschel has something to say. We'll talk to him about his career. We'll get his thoughts on the election and the importance of getting out and voting. That's coming up next segment here on Drive Time Sports. We're also going to switch roles. Had a longtime listener, Mark Jones, been with us on Drive Time pretty much every step of the way, and he brought an idea to me a little while back, and he said, I'd like to interview you on Drive Time Sports. I have questions for you. I get to listen to you every day. Now I have questions for you. I wasn't quite sure about that, but I figured, why not? I've interviewed people for a decade here on the show. He can come in and interview me. That'll be later on in the show, so we're going to switch things up a little bit today. Just a break from the norm, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. That's all coming up here on the show. Now, before we do that, we have to take a look at the national headlines, and if you're a San Francisco 49er fan, it's been bad so far this season, and it's not getting better anytime soon. The 49ers have found out today that they will miss Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle for multiple weeks. Garoppolo did not look right yesterday against the Seahawks. He aggravated his high ankle sprain and is expected to keep him out for at least 6 weeks, maybe even longer if it requires surgery. Terrible news. So now the 49ers will have to rely on Nick Mullins. Outside of that, top target, George Kittle. His foot injury happened less than 2 minutes after Garoppolo left. He leaped up, grabbed a 25-yard pass from Mullins, made the catch but landed awkwardly, went to the sidelines and went to the locker room. Shanahan said after the game that the x-rays showed no breaks. Further tests would be needed to confirm, and now he's got a fractured ankle, and he is going to miss a minimum of 8 weeks. He's just not going to play. It's the bottom line. Garoppolo and George Kittle are done for the season. Ross Dwelly is going to be the man. Jordan Reed may come back from injury, but it's just been one thing after another for the 49ers, who were stuck on a Super Bowl hangover. It's a real thing. It happened to the Rams last year. It's happening to the 49ers now. And I just don't see any reason to bring these two back. It's a tough division. San Francisco loses again yesterday to Seattle. They're behind the Rams. They're behind the Cardinals. They're not going to catch the Seahawks. It's just one of those years where everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for San Francisco. Now, I don't know if those particular injuries have anything to do with what the 49ers pulled today, but then they dealt Quan Alexander. They send him to New Orleans in exchange for Kiko Alonso and a fifth-round pick. Sean Payton made this announcement today. Both linebackers are on the mend from injuries. Alexander's missed the past 3 weeks because of a high ankle sprain, but he was back at practice last week. Alonso, he hasn't played yet this season after tearing his ACL back in January, but he returned to practice last month. This is a little bit of a bummer if you're a 49er fan, because it was a big deal when they signed Kwon Alexander. Last season, they bring him in. $54 million deal. When you look at the best linebackers in the game at that particular time before the injury, Kwon Alexander was right there. And he was supposed to wreak havoc in the middle of the field for the 49ers. I'm not saying that San Francisco is waving the white flag, but they should. That's what I'm saying. They should. It's not the only trade that went down in the NFL today. The Tennessee Titans got some help as they acquired veteran defensive back Desmond King from the LA Chargers for a sixth-round pick in 2021. The Chargers, they picked up King in the 2017 draft, so it's not as if he's been around for a long time. All-pro at his position, second-team all-pro punt returner. He's been moved to the backup role since the Chargers signed Chris Harris. Resumed that starting position after at nickelback, I guess you could say, after Harris was injured in late September. And for whatever reason, the Chargers have ran into injury after injury once again. First team in NFL history to blow four 17-point leads so far this season. That's amazing when you look at what's happening with the Chargers right now. So King on his way out, Kiko Alonso on his way to the 49ers, Kwon Alexander on his way to New Orleans. Some of the trade chatter, some of the trades that have gone down today. I believe we will see some more player movement between now and tomorrow's trade deadline. Now, the NFL deadline gets bigger and bigger every year. You go back 5, 6, 7 years ago, you maybe got one trade, maybe. You get a lot more today. Some big ones. I think New Orleans is going all in. They're like $60 million over the cap for next season. After making this deal for Alexander, they know that Drew Brees' time is short. Look, like the Saints or not, I'm not a Saints guy, I'm not a Sean Payton guy. I appreciate the fact that the Saints realize this is it. They're selling out. They're going for a Super Bowl. I can absolutely respect that. Let's take a look at the national sports headlines. Tonight, week 8 of the NFL season will come to a close. We get Tampa Bay at 5-2, taking on the Giants at 1-6. Start time for this game is set for 6:15 tonight, and that is the only national sports contest out of the four major sports in the country that we get tonight. No baseball, no basketball, nothing but NFL. One Monday night game. Tom Brady on the road to take on the New York Giants. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to be joined by 1982 Heisman Trophy winner Herschel Walker. We'll talk about his career and more. That's coming up right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Extremely excited to bring in our next guest here on Drive Time Sports. We're on the eve of one of the biggest elections in our country's history. And our next guest has been very vocal about the election. He also happens to be one of the greatest college football players of all time. Won the Heisman in 1982, won a national championship in 1980, and is the only player in NCAA history to finish in the top three in Heisman voting all 3 years of his collegiate career. He was also involved in one of the biggest trades in NFL history. He is Herschel Walker, and he is joining us right now over the phone. Herschel, it is a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
No, thank you for having me on.
I know it's a very important time. You've been making the rounds all around the country, national media, election day tomorrow, one of the biggest days in the for our country of the year, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But as I alluded to, one of the greatest college football players to ever play the game. You made some amazing accomplishments at Georgia, winning a national championship, winning a Heisman Trophy, going on to the NFL. And at this stage now, Herschel, which one of those accomplishments mean the most? I guess maybe not even one individual accomplishment, but the multiple accomplishments that you had in the college realm. What stands out to you?
Well, you know, I think just having an opportunity just to play college football, I think is more of an accomplishment than anything, because from the little town that I came from, you know, you never dream that a kid can come out of a small town like that. But I think that given that privilege to do that, I think I've helped to inspire a lot of young kids and let them know that no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, you can accomplish something if you work at it. You dedicate yourself, you have to sacrifice, and you can do it. And I don't think it got anything to do with awards. I think it just got to do with having that ability to go to college, to get an education, to see, to go farther.
Does it mean a lot to you when you hear people all these decades later talking about you as being, if not the greatest, one of the greatest college football players of all time? Does that mean anything?
I know it does. It means a great deal. That means that I was doing a job that I was supposed to do. And one of the things I've been saying for a long time, and people don't understand this, and I hope a lot of people listening to me now do, is that, you know, Herschel Walker got a lot of awards and stuff in college. But one thing that I'm ashamed of, and I say I think I must say that, I am shocked that not one of my offensive linemen ever made All-American. And I don't know how a running back like myself can be awarded every award in the world as one of the greatest running backs to ever play, but have an offensive line that not one of them ever be known as an All-American or their name be known, but yet they needed to get a big award for doing the things it did for me.
Well, if we go back to your college days, one of the games that I have always been fascinated with is the 1981 Sugar Bowl, where you guys topped Notre Dame 17-10. This solidifies the national championship. And for those who are unaware, Herschel, you finished with 150 yards, 55 in the second half. But really, when you look at the impressiveness of it, you separated your shoulder. And that's what's absolutely incredible to me. Here you are competing for a national championship injured, and you guys find a way to get the job done against a very good Notre Dame football team.
Well, you know, and that's what people talk about. You know, I separated my shoulder the second play of the game, and the doctors told me I couldn't play anymore. And as I thought about it, I came from a small town. A lot of people from my little hometown, you know, they did what they could to get to see me play in New Orleans, and I was not going to let them down. And my team, you know, we had worked so hard to get there. We were playing a great team like Notre Dame, and I was there's no way I'm going to let my teammates down, let my town down, let my state down by not playing. And I figured, you know, it's only going to be 60 minutes. Now, all I got to do is bear the pain for 60 minutes. And for 60 minutes, I think you can do almost anything.
Is that the most memorable game that you have during your college career? I know you accomplished so much, but that win did solidify a national title.
I tell you, that's one of them because of me separating my shoulder and because of the people Notre Dame had, that no one ever thought that a small team from Georgia, because Notre Dame was, you know, as on books, was picked to beat us. You know, they were bigger, they were faster, they had more pro scouts on their team. But that just goes to show you no one can ever know your heart. That I think you never count a team out, that you go out and you work together, you play together, you win and you lose together, you can accomplish some great things.
Again, our guest right now is Herschel Walker as we talk about his career and what's happening right now here in the country, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Herschel, you're one of the very interesting players because the USFL ties into your career, and we have talked about the USFL many of times here on the show. There are a lot of fantastic, great football players that participated in that league. If we go back to your college days coming to an end, you making the jump to the USFL where you had a lot of success. I mean, you set the professional football record for single-season rushing yards in 1985. When you go back and you look at your career at the USFL, just having two professional leagues, how different was it for kids coming out of college back then compared to now?
Well, it was totally different because, you know, back then they would not let a college athlete go into the pros. The NFL wouldn't take them. And whereas today they do, and back then going to the USFL really, I think, helped my career out a lot. And people always ask me why I say that. And I said, you know, leaving Georgia, everyone thought I was just, quote, a running back. Everyone thought I could just run the ball. But I think going to the USFL, people saw that I was a football player. I can play a lot of different positions. And when I got to the pros, even at Dallas, my very first year, I broke the receiving record for the Dallas Cowboys, and I was supposed to be a running back. But I broke that receiving record, and they've had so many great receivers. And because I started playing a lot of different positions in the USFL, and people saw I can do that, so I started returning kickoffs. I started running downs on kicks because I wanted to do that. I wanted to do things and be a great football player, not just a great running back, but a great football player.
Did you feel like you had something to prove when you went from the USFL to the NFL? And I know that probably sounds like a dumb question because you had one of the most decorative careers ever for a running back at that particular time. But in your mind, did you have something to prove going to the NFL?
No, I really didn't think it like that, and the reason I didn't, because, you know, I also was a track guy, so I was running with some of the fastest guys in the world at my size, even at that time. And so I really never went out to ever say I want to prove something to someone else. I always wanted to prove it to myself because, you know, as a little kid, I was bullied. As a little kid, I was overweight, had a speech impediment. Not too many people gave me the time of day. And I went out and I started training. So I had to prove things to myself that I wouldn't give up. I would never quit. I would continue to strive to be the very best in the athletic world or anything I ever done. So I really was trying to prove things to myself.
If it was football, if it was track and field, or if we go back, you know, a decade or so ago with you stepping into the mixed martial arts cage, Herschel, I've always used you as an example for kids today, especially high school athletes who want to specialize in one sport. You have to be well-versed, and I think you were the perfect example of that, being not only one of the greatest football players, but one of the greatest athletes that we've ever seen.
Well, and that's what I tell a lot of kids, and I tell parents that as well. You know, sometimes you want to be a great football player, but you never know. You don't know where your talent lies, and sometimes you have to go with it because, you know, I really didn't understand it. You know, I was not a great football player when I was a little kid. I couldn't even play. I didn't even understand it. I read about football in a book. But one of the things I did is I would work at it. I worked at it, and I worked at it the same thing I did in track and field. But you never know. So I want the kids to be very versed, and as when they're small, do a lot of different sports. Be a lot of different sports because you never know what type of muscle quickness you're going to have and what you're going to develop to be. And don't let anyone try to put you in a hole and tell you you're good at this right here because they don't even know at that time.
Again, Herschel Walker, our guest right now. Herschel, if we talk about today, I know you have made the media rounds over the last little while. Election Day, this is one of the biggest days every 4 years here in this country when you get to vote for a presidential candidate. And we're on the eve of Election Day. And boy, you've been all over the place talking about this election, maybe one of the biggest elections in our country's history.
It is one of the biggest ones because, you know, as you look at it today, you know, you have the Democratic Party right now, which is, I'm sort of ashamed of, that seem to want to remove your speech. They seem to want to remove your religion. They seem to want to remove your guns. That is the rights of the Constitution of the United States of America. And I said, guys, you know what's so strange about it is we're the greatest country in the world. And right now we seem to have a group that want to just say that we need to live off the government. That seem to what they want to do. They want us to just be quiet, don't say anything. If you say something, you're racist. And that's one reason I told a lot of the commissioners in the professional sports league or even in college, do not put politics into sports. Because now you're making every player on that team not be able to say what they believe in because they said they're going to be labeled as a racist when it's got nothing to do with not deciding on the same thing. Just because you disagree with someone do not mean you're racist. Well, that's been the hot word, the buzzword out there right now, and I think that's what's wrong.
You talk about politics moving into sports, and Herschel, one of the things that's bothered me about it is if one athlete speaks up in a sport, it seems like the entire league is grouped in with that one athlete. And we had that issue in the NBA, and I don't have to mention names, and we had that issue in the NFL. All in all, I feel that that's ultimately wrong. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with it. You know, this is a team sport, and I think that's when you start separating players. You know, what player can go home, like what white player can go home and tell his 10-year-old son Black Lives Matter, like their lives matter more than your life? That is very hard to understand. And I think right now we start talking about Black Lives Matter, you know, it was a Marxist organization. The organization didn't mean well. The phrase that may have meant well, but America's lives matter. So other people's lives matter as well. And I think when the commissioner start picking a side, I think that's what is wrong. Now you're telling everyone on that team, you better decide this way, otherwise you're going to be against everyone else. And that's not what you're supposed to do. As a team, you play as a team, you live as a team, you eat as a team, you lose as a team, but you don't start separating the team. And I think that's what you do when you put politics in it.
We rarely talk politics here on Drive Time Sports, Herschel, but I will ask the question. You've been a very big supporter of President Donald Trump, and you guys have known each other for a long time, right? Where did your guys' relationship begin?
We have. You know, I've known Donald Trump. This is the strangest thing. You know, when I was coming out of college, you know, the very first team I played on was New Jersey Generals, and it was owned by a guy from Oklahoma by the name of J. Walter Duncan, and he only owned the team for a couple of months before he sold it to Donald Trump. And that's where Donald and I met, and we became very close friends, not just friends at a distance where owner to player, we became almost like family friends. You know, his family came to my home to eat. I went to his home. My family went to his home. We traveled. During the summer, his kids stayed with me and my family. We traveled to different amusement things, did a lot of things together. Even when I left the New Jersey Generals, we still continued to stay friends, family friends, and I've known him for a long time. So when I started hearing what they were saying that I knew was not the truth about this man, I said, I cannot sit back and not let and tell the truth of it. And he didn't even ask me. He never asked. His campaign never asked. I volunteered to do it, and I volunteered to do it because it was the truth. And I said, if America don't know the truth, I think it's wrong. And not only that, I think that's what the American people must do is to go to the polls knowing the truth. Right now, I think the left is trying to hide so much from them, not telling the truth. And I think that is so wrong when you want the people to vote on the most powerful man in the world. You're voting on the most powerful man in the world, and I think people see right now Donald Trump can give you a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week job. That man works all the time. I've seen it when I knew him in the early 80s. I see it today, the way he works, the way he cares. I'm not sure about Joe Biden, and I'm not trying to put him down. I'm not sure if he can give you 24 hours, 7 days a week. I don't know if he can do that, and I've seen the things that he's been doing for the last 47 years being into office, and that's what happens every time. Every 4 years, we get all these promises. Donald Trump is not a politician, but I can tell you this. He's been doing everything that he ran on in 2016. He's been doing it. So I know now he's going to continue to do that because he's a people's president. You know, he may say a lot of crazy things. He may tweet a lot of crazy things, but it's not what he says. It's not what he tweets. It's what he does. And I can tell you right now, he is a people's president.
Herschel Walker, our guest right now. Again, one of the greatest college football players to ever play. Herschel, I have thoroughly enjoyed the last 12, 13 minutes or so. I know you're very busy. You have a lot of other spots you got to hit up. But I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking out the time to join us on the show today. It was truly a pleasure to speak with you.
No, thank you, and God bless now. Thank you.
Again, Herschel Walker taking out the time. Fun interview. One of the greatest, not only college football players, but athletes of all time. Definitely a pleasure to bring Herschel on the show today. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, I'm going to switch sides of the studio. I'm going to be interviewed. It's the 10-year anniversary of Drive Time Sports. I had a longtime listener say, look, for the anniversary, let me interview you. That's what we're going to do. We'll switch things up here on Drive Time Sports when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio.
You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Today is the 10-year anniversary of Drive Time Sports. Every day for the last decade, I've had the pleasure of sitting behind the mic and talking both local and national sports with you on the afternoon drive. And to celebrate the 10-year anniversary, I was approached by a listener, a longtime listener of the show, that said he would love to come in and interview me for the anniversary of the show. And I thought, boy, I don't know who would be interested in hearing things from my perspective, but it's a different take. And we've done the same thing for about 10 years here on Drive Time Sports. So due to the anniversary, why not? That's what we're going to do for this particular segment. Joining us in the studio, longtime listener of Drive Time Sports, Mark Jones. Well, Mark, you had the idea. You wanted to come in for a segment and interview me. You've listened to me interview people for 10 years, and now you wanted to interview me here on the show. So it's an opportunity to do things a little different.
Well, I wanted to, I remember a story in one of my questions today for you, Jordan. Well, it deals with this just a little bit, but I remember one of your buddies telling me a story about you giving one of the major sports radio announcers a hard time one time. So I thought, well, we'll give him a little taste of his own medicine.
Yeah. Why not? I've earned it after this long. So, yeah, why not? Well, I appreciate you taking the interest, and I appreciate you making the time to come on down. So, yeah, I'm ready for anything. Let's do it.
All right, Jordan. One question that I got for you is, why did you want to get into radio in the first place?
Yeah, when I was a little kid, probably 5-6 years old, I used to listen to Chick Hearn announce basketball games at night. That's how I went to bed. My dad was kind enough to turn on the radio, let me go to sleep, listening to a Laker game. And it fascinated me from such an early age. Be it Chick Hearn, be it Vince Scully, I could see it in my mind. I could see the game actually happening. Here I am sitting in the dark, waiting to fall asleep, listening to a Laker game on the radio. And from that point on, it just fascinated me. So from the time I was about 5-6 years old, I knew that at some point in my life, I wanted to make sure that I could talk sports, paint a picture, and announce basketball, because that was the sport that I initially grew up just in love with. And so that's how radio became a part of my life. That's how I wanted to be a part of radio.
How old do you think you were?
5 or 6.
5 or 6.
Yeah, about 5 or 6 years old.
Kind of going through my questions here, you answered several of them there with one whack. So Jordan's good at this. Have to give him another credit. What's the best part of covering high school and collegiate sports?
There's nothing like high school. There's just nothing like high school, you know, especially being in the area that we're in. Rural high school sports are just special. You know, as far as collegiate, as far as professional sports, they all have their own niche in the sports world. But when you go to, say, a Carbon or an Emory game, first off, if you've never seen Carbon and Emory battle it out on the volleyball court or the basketball court or the football field, you're missing out, because it's the closest experience you will ever get to watching a state championship in your own backyard. We're never going to get that here. We're never going to see a state championship game at the Spartan Center. We're never going to see it at Carbon High School. But when those two teams get together, you have two communities that are so close-knit, and they get together, and you see that the pride just oozes, right? These kids are out there. They're giving it their all. I mean, there's nothing like it. And then you see the academic honors that these kids managed to muster up on top of being a student athlete and having the opportunity to go to practice and seeing the time and the effort that they put in. To me, there's no bigger success story than being successful in the classroom and on the court or the field. And that's what you get in these rural areas. We can really focus on individual kids. You see the time that parents put in. I think that's an overlooked aspect of it. At the end of every football broadcast, at the end of the year, I always make sure I tip my hat to the parents. Same thing with basketball, because it's a full-time job to keep up with these kids. Trust me, I know. You know, traveling from city to city, it's a full-time job. And so the effort, the time that teachers, parents, students, grandparents, families put in, there's nothing like it. And rural sports, rural high school sports, is so much different than anything else. I mean, it's an honor to be a part of it, because it's just special.
What makes a great broadcast, Jordan?
Talking about the game. I had a compliment once upon a time from a listener who was blind, and he said, "I can see the game when you're announcing." That's the ultimate compliment. You got to paint the picture for the people who aren't there. You got to bring the excitement to them. People don't tune in to listen to you. People tune in to hear their kids, their grandkids, their nieces, their nephews, their friends. That's what they want to hear. And, you know, again, going back to what I just said about rural high school sports, there's such a different feel to it. You have to be able to bring that excitement. And also, it's important to the kids. The kids put in the time, they put in the effort. You better put in the time and effort in the broadcast. You better bring that excitement, and you better paint the picture in the minds of the people who aren't there. I want people to see what I am seeing, and it's my job to relay that. That's what makes a great broadcast.
Do you see yourself successful?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've always been of the mindset, do what you love and the money will take care of itself. The fact of the matter is, I got to graduate from school, get a job in the field that I wanted to dive into. I've had the opportunity to move on, and I wanted to. There's just something special about Carbon and Emory County. It's special to be a part of it. It's appreciated, and I have a great relationship with nearly all the coaches. You know, and at the end of the day, I get to raise a family. I get to work in radio. I say I got the greatest job in the world. I think that's pretty successful. And I get Drive Time Sports every day. It's the best hour of the day. I mean, it really is. I love it. I love sitting down. I love griping. I love jumping on a soapbox. And yeah, I got the greatest job in the world. I truly believe that.
How have you built the Drive Time Sports brand?
Oh, man, I go back and I listen to a show that took place 10 years ago. Eventually, I got the idea that I wanted to mix local sports with national sports, because here, again, it goes back to the rural area. you have people that love high school athletics. Those same people, they love professional sports. What about the idea of taking, you know, an interview with, you know, Coach Famalo or Coach Jeffs or Coach Cincinnatus or Coach Butler and mixing it with Bobby Bowden, one of the greatest college football coaches ever, you know, having them bookend each other on a show or getting some of the guests that we've had on this show with the local blend. I just thought it was a challenge. I never thought it would get to where it's at today. We've gotten more national guests than I can count. And the local guests always are gracious enough to join us. And so that was my idea behind the brand of Drive Time Sports. Let's mix local with national and collegiate because people that love high school sports, they tend to love college sports. They tend to love professional sports. Why not give them a mix of everything in one sitting? And that's what we've tried to do.
Who did you have to convince to even get started? Paul?
Yeah, it was real. Actually, it was Tom. Tom and Paul both. Paul gave me the opportunity here, and I remember before I came to Price, I was in St. George, and I worked with Devin Dixon. Some people may know Devin Dixon. He's a very prominent name in the St. George area, and he had a daily sports show. And so for 2 years, while I was going to school at Southern Utah, I would drive to St. George, and I would help Devin out on a show. He'd let me on the air from time to time, but I would gather notes. I would help him set up charity events, you know, golfing events. I just felt the time was right. Like, look, I can do this. I can put together this show. And I took it into Tom. I took it into Paul. And they said, all right, 2 weeks. You start in 2 weeks. Wow, that was easy. And you know what? Even though I had that experience, little did I know how much work an hour a day truly is, you know, for sports talk radio. It is. It's a lot of work every single day having to muster up, especially during the COVID time. That was difficult to do. It didn't take much convincing, and fortunately, they've kept me on now for a decade.
All right, pinball.
Yeah, love it. Love it. I've been told...
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know, really. Like, growing up, my grandpa owned a card shop, a sports card shop, and he had a couple of pinball machines in the card shop. And I also felt like, while sports is definitely my passion, you need an outlet. You need something to decompress with, and so... You know, if I'm not watching a game or if I'm not calling a game when I'm away from work, it gave me an opportunity to go down and fix things. You know, I'm pretty good with electronics, and so fixing pinball machines, playing with pinball machines. I've been told many of times I'm like an 80-year-old man in a 30-year-old body because I love horse racing and baseball and pinball. I love every... I'm an Elvis Presley fan. I should have been born in the 50s, apparently, right? Because it's a hobby that was big back in the day. It's starting to come back, but no, I love pinball. And, you know, speaking of Travis, I've dragged him with me to a couple of pinball tournaments. I don't know if he likes it as much as I do, but I've tried to instill it in him, too, so I can have a pinball buddy.
The schedule of a play-by-play broadcaster can be a little rough on a family life, as the events are usually in the evenings and travel is required. How has April handled this aspect of your career?
You know, it was hard for her at first. It was really hard at first because football's not bad. That's once a week. Basketball's bad, especially when you know, because I announced for USU Eastern as well. So when you take into consideration Emory and USU Eastern, you know, you get to work at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're not leaving until 1, 2 in the morning, depending on a road trip. I love it. It's what I was born to do, you know. On her end, I think she looks forward to the end of basketball season. I don't think she minds football. You know, I'm out of her hair on a Friday night. I think she's okay with that. Basketball, though, it's taken some adjusting, and she's a trooper. She knows how passionate I am about it, and you know, what makes me feel good is the next day when I'm talking to April and she brings up a key point of the game. She wasn't watching the game. She was listening to the game. And so she listens, and she's the first to tell me when something wasn't right with the broadcast either. So yeah, I absolutely love that. She's a trooper. Yep, she definitely is.
The nuts and bolts. Tell me about the days you and Travis would haggle Ron Barr.
Oh, man, Ron Barr. Look. Ron Barr has come on Drive Time Sports a couple of times, and he remembers it as well. The two instances that stand out in my mind, when Notre Dame hired Charlie Weiss as their head football coach, he said this team wouldn't win. They wouldn't win two games. And I called him, and I gave him the reasons to why this wouldn't happen. We went back and forth for a good 10, 15 minutes, and Ron Barr tells me, I'll tell you what, when they win five games, you call me. Notre Dame starts off 5-1. Ron wouldn't take my call in the air. He didn't want to talk to me. So I had Travis's mom pose as a caller from Boston that wanted to talk about the Red Sox. He brought her right on. She hands me the phone. I remember it like it was yesterday. He says, we got Debbie in Boston that wants to talk Red Sox baseball. Debbie, how you doing? And I said, no, Ron, this is Jordan from Utah. Go Irish, baby. And he hung up. And then it was around the same time when the Lakers had dealt Shaq. Ron was completely on board with trading Kobe and keeping Shaq, and we went at it. Finally, Ron just had enough. And I had said some things that were radio appropriate. I didn't cross the line, but Ron took him as insults, and Ron didn't want to talk to me anymore. And so he banned us. We couldn't call into Sports Byline USA anymore. And it was funny when I talked to Ron the last time he came on the show. He told me, "Hey, your voice has matured a little bit." So he remembered.
And I think it's great that Ron has come on your show.
Yeah,
and he's supported you and helped you a little bit that way, and that's fantastic.
There's not a better interviewer than Ron Barr.
What is your favorite sport to cover?
I love basketball. I love it. I love everything about it. I love the sound the ball makes when it bounces off the hardwood. I love the smell of a basketball gym. I love the sound the ball makes when it goes through the basket. I love the intensity of looking up and seeing a clock, and you know you're up against the clock. You're competing against the opposition, but you're competing against the clock. I love everything there is about basketball. I've been fascinated by it for my entire life. And then next, it would be, honestly, when I got into sports broadcasting, I wanted to be a boxing writer. That's what I first wanted to do. It turned out to be a niche sport, and that's a very difficult field to get into. And so I took my passions for basketball and baseball and decided to turn it into what it's become today. And baseball would probably be next because it's the only sport where the defense touches the ball every single play, and I'm a defensive guy. That fascinates me.
How much time do you put into preparing for any given drive time broadcast?
2 hours minimum. An hour show, 2 hour minimum show. I always want more content than what I need. A lot of times, you know, I'll go through a segment in my head and say, yeah, that didn't work. That's not going to work. For an hour show, 2 hours minimum. That's the rule.
And anything you would do differently if you could go back and start over?
Not a damn thing.
All right. I love it.
And no. I am right where I am supposed to be. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, I believe that we as people, we're right where we need to be. Just do the right thing, right? And I feel like I've done the right things, and so I'm right where I need to be.
All right, Jordan, thank you for this opportunity to do this. And I think a lot of people love to hear what your comments were and answers to these questions. Thank you.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you taking out the time to come in and sharing the interest and, of course, listening. I love each and every listener. We wouldn't be on for 10 years without you guys, so thank you. I'm happy to be back in this seat right here. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a drain that never would come to me. Running down a drain.
Back to close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm going to bring in Travis Anderson to help do that. Just a few minutes left. Fun show. Talking to Herschel Walker, one of the greatest athletes of all time. Definitely one of the greatest college football players that I got interviewed. It's a little out of the norm here on Drive Time Sports. Travis, we've been doing this for 10 years now. Where's the time gone?
Yeah, it's crazy that 10 years and here we are, and couldn't ask for, you know, anything better than get on here, talk sports.
Yeah, it's been great.
So it's been a lot of fun. 10 years ago, so the Lakers won in 2010, Lakers 2020.
Yeah, every decade, maybe they'll get a ring. Before we end the show, I do want to talk NFL. Yesterday, it was the first time we got to see Tua Tagovailoa, and you knew this was going to be a big deal. Tua has been pegged almost like the chosen one since the first time we saw him as a freshman leading Alabama to a come-from-behind win in the national championship. Yesterday, first NFL game, logs of victory. You had to have watched this game to get some perspective. Tua was not great yesterday.
No, he wasn't that impressive. And a lot of people, because the Dolphins won, are going to make it out to be, whoa, look at Tua. Look what he did. I mean, he was okay. I mean, he wasn't that good.
Yeah, I don't even know if he was okay. He was 12 of 22.
He was bad. Let's be nice. He wasn't great. He was bad.
He wasn't great. His QBR was a 25. His rating was an 80. Here's the deal, though, with Miami. And this goes back to the conversation that we had last week. Brian Flores had a week, an additional week, to prepare for the Los Angeles Rams, and he stunted on this team in Super Bowl 53, and it was all really strategically put together. It's really that simple. I mean, this was the perfect game for the Dolphins to bring in Tua. Travis, he had to do nothing yesterday. This defense stifled Jared Goff and the Rams. They forced turnovers. Special teams got into it. They made it easy on Tua. That's how you help mold a rookie quarterback. So I tip my hat to Brian Flores. Just keep it in perspective. Tua was very vanilla yesterday, and that's the way it needed to be.
That's how it had to be. Yeah, if they were going to win that game, that's, you know, what they did is went out there. Didn't let Tua do too much. He really didn't do anything, but the defense got after Goff. Poor Jared Goff yesterday looked pretty bad, and for the Rams, that's a tough loss going across country, losing to the Dolphins.
They traveled over 19,000 miles so far this year.
Yeah, it hasn't been nice to him, has it?
No, it hasn't, but nonetheless, Tua time, he picks up a victory. Tonight, Monday Night Football, we get the Buccaneers, we get the Giants. Am I crazy for thinking that tonight's game maybe mucked up a little bit? Like, I don't think that we see a Buccaneer blowout. I think they win, but I think cold weather, Monday night, an additional day. I think we have a sloppy game tonight. I really do.
Yeah, I think the Giants hang around. I think maybe Tampa jumps out, maybe early, maybe 17-0, and then later on in the second half, the Giants make a game out of it, but too much Buccaneers. Best offense in football, I think they're too much.
5-2 Tampa, 1-6 Giants. That contest taking place tonight. Throughout the week, I do want to recap some of the best segments we've had over the last 10 years on the show. It'll be different than the traditional best of, but we will play clips of some of my favorite interviews over the last 10 years, and I'll give you the story as to how those interviews became about. I'm looking forward to it. We'll do that each day this week. One particular segment will be geared to an interview or two as we celebrate 10 years on the air right here on Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Herschel Walker for taking out the time to join us. I want to thank Mark Jones for taking the interest in the show, and of course you for tuning in every single day. We're going to be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Be safe. We are out.